So excited that you're with us as we continue our conversation on becoming the church. When I say becoming the church, does anyone think to themselves, oh, I have to become a chair. I need to become carpet. I need to become drywall. If you do, you need a lot of counseling. But I would say this. You're becoming the church because you, the person, are the church. Jesus did not come for four pillars, a steeple, and a cross. Jesus came to invest in people. We are his living stones. We are his temple. Do you not know that you are a temple for the Holy Spirit to live in and reside in? So you're becoming the church. So we've covered all kinds of things like saying yes to Jesus daily, that you are a family. You're not some outside person by yourself, but you're a part of an incredible team, a family team. But then also God wants you to rest. He doesn't want you to be exhausted. So he gives us a Sabbath. We've talked about, I'm trying to remember all the different topics we cover. We talked about mercy and how what it means to be able to forgive. But today, we're going to be talking about a subject, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it here at the beginning so you're aware of it, and then we're going to get into it. Generosity. I felt like I led you on that one. I'm not kidding. Okay, so hey, family, we got to talk for a second. This is one of those conversations, you know, where the teenager comes in and asks you a question, and you're like, oh, it's time to have that talk, right? Okay, so today, we're going to talk, ready for this, your time, your talent, and your treasure. And when I say treasure, I mean your money. Yeah. Okay, good. I feel like I'm really, really egging you on. Okay, so this is one of those that as a pastor, as I was getting ready and getting today's conversation together, I was like, Lord, if there's a Sunday that you don't have first-time guests come, let it be this one, right? Because I don't go to church because all they ever do is talk about your money. Well, oddly enough, yes today, but it's we can't talk about becoming the church, the people of God who we are, lest we have this conversation. So I'm not intimidated to have the conversation. It's just, hey, family, we got to talk. We got to talk about what it means to give God of your time, talent, and treasure. And here's why. Because how we handle money is important for people of faith, especially in North America, who struggle with cultural idols such as materialism and individualism. Simply put, money is a gospel issue. Okay, so we do have to talk about this. So today, when I talk about generosity, I am going to talk about your time, talent, and treasure, but I'm going to dial specifically into the financial side of things because where we put our money is where we usually put our time. Where we put our money is usually where we're investing most of our energies. So I am going to talk about that. And so in that, here's what I'd like to tell you. Normally, when I go to prepare a sermon, or if I'm working with someone and they're preparing a sermon, there's a couple key things that I say to them. And here's number one, I say this, less is more. I don't think you can do a sermon where you have the 7 points of freedom and I give that to you in a half hour and you get anything. That's not my rhythm. It's not how I do it. I think less is more on that. The other thing I say is, can you tell me in a single sentence what it is you're going to take 30 minutes to try to say? Why? Because if I can't summarize what I'm trying to say, I'll just talk for 30 minutes and then we'll all go away feeling like we did something religious, but we didn't actually do anything for Jesus. And so having said, those are the rules that I live by, but today I'm going the complete other side of it. Today, more is more. I'm just going to start talking for a long time, and it won't be until 7 minutes left in the sermon that you even have a clue what I'm trying to say. One person, and you make me pay you. And so, okay, so like, there it is. I'm just kidding, I don't. And so I'm going to start now with just talking about Jesus, because if I'm going to talk to you about your money, your time, and your time, talent, and treasure, no better place than to start talk about Jesus. Did you know that Jesus talked about money more than any other single topic in all of his teachings? Did you know that the Bible, money, is the second most talked about subject with over 800 verses? Now, some of you know enough about the Bible where you're thinking this. Jesus might have talked about money, but not every time did money have to do with money. Sometimes money had to do with other issues. And you're absolutely correct. And so I don't want to misuse the word of God in any way, shape, or form, but I do want to say this to you. The reason why Jesus used money as an example all the time, though, and it may have been where your heart is, it may be talked about where your treasures are about, and even talked about kingdom type stuff. The reason why he was always able to use money as an example, it's because something that all of us can relate to. Is there anybody in here that you're currently living your life without money, the use of money, or the need of money? Okay, great. Congratulations. Let's talk about it. We're all on the same page, right? So this is why Jesus used this. And there was this one time in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 15, which, by the way, if you want my sermon notes from today, download the app. I have all of this in here for you. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with you." So wouldn't you know this, there was a death in the family and money caused division. So you have this guy come to Jesus and he said, "Hey, my brother's not giving me enough money. Tell him to share it with me." Imagine that, two brothers sharing, fighting over something. And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed," and I doubt he said it with that, but that's how I like to read it. "So, dude, who appointed me to judge or be an arbitrator between you two?" He then said this, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life," ready for this, "life does not consist of abundance of possession." So he's looking at him going, "You're about to let this friendship be divided because of stuff." Come on. Right? You want me to arbitrate if he owes you 20 versus 40. But I'm saying be careful, because if you make life all about your possessions, then you've missed to possess what life is all about. And then Jesus goes into this amazing parable about a rich fool in verses 12 through 21. And he says, and he's just saying, "Hey, here's a guy who had everything that he thought he needed." And so now Jesus went from a practical statement into this parable about this rich guy who thought he needed more and more. And so what he did is he built bigger and bigger barns. But by the time he got his bigger and bigger barns filled, he died. And so guess what he got to take with him? Everyone say nothing. None. But he had bigger barns to store the stuff that he couldn't actually keep. And he's going, this guy's a rich fool. He may be wealthy in the natural, but listen, if when it comes to what you need in life, and Jesus goes into this teaching, he goes, just so you know, the birds of the air, they get taken care of. The flowers of the field, they don't just dress themselves, God dresses them. You're going to have everything you need in life in order to survive. And so I find it interesting, this thing of a bigger barn in this rich fool thing, because this past week I was watching an interview by a guy named Joe Rogan. If you haven't heard of him, you're under a rock. And so Joe Rogan was interviewing this guy called Mr. Beast. Does everyone know who Mr. Beast is? Okay, so does anyone have kids under the age of 13? Yes. Okay, you know who Mr. Beast is, right? So Mr. Beast, if you don't know who he is, he has 91 million subscribers on his main channel. He has almost 200 million people throughout all of his channels, and his videos have been viewed more than 24 billion times. So if you don't know who he is, turn on YouTube. He'll be one of the top things in your feed. And because he has mastered this thing called YouTube. And he's sitting in an interview with Joe Rogan, and Joe's just kind of digging in there, which, by the way, I meant to do research on this. Does anyone remember Seinfeld, their final episode that they did? Weren't they at 20 million viewers? Does anyone remember that number? And it was streamed in Times Square. So think about this, 20 million viewers watched one of the most popular shows of all time. And he has 10 times the amount of people who wait for his videos to come out and watch them, if that gives you anything. Now, I can understand why you don't watch Seinfeld, because my wife and I have tried. We have been told that this is a great, great thing. My wife and I have tried. We're in like season 5. It's horrible. It's miserable. I'm sorry. It's not funny. These people, no, you can't mute me. Stop it. Knock it off. And so, no, these people are horrible. These people are horrible. But then the jokes just aren't funny. They're not good. One, two or three act. If I have half spasms every time I come in the door, that'll get a lot. It's miserable. So having said that, I'm sorry. I did that. That has nothing to do with today's sermon. And those are not the views of navigation. Yeah, they are. Seinfeld's miserable. So Mr. Beast is talking to Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan said, hey, you know, so what have you done in your life as far as for you and for splurging? And Mr. Beast said, you know, there was a season because I started making all this money. When I first started making the money, I saved up 1 month and I bought myself a microphone. Then I saved up for 6 months and I got a computer. But he'll do $1 million giveaways now. And Joe said, so what have you done just kind of for yourself? And he goes, well, I went through a very short season where I thought I needed like real fancy everything. And I went out and bought $1,000 shirts and I got all these designer clothes. And after I bought it all, I realized this isn't what I want at all. And he goes, interesting enough, my house got broken into and everything that I invested in that I thought would make me happy because that's what rich people do, it all got stolen from me. And he said, it didn't matter. After it got stolen, I realized I didn't want any of that junk anyway. He goes, I'm actually doing what I want to do, and that's the pleasure that I'm finding in life. It's not the stuff of life, it's the purpose of life. And by the way, if we think if we have more and more and more, we'll be happier. And then I read this quote by a guy named Jim Carrey. You probably know him from all his different movies, Jim Carrey. He said this one time. He said, I hope everybody could get rich and famous and will have everything they ever dreamed of, so they will know that that isn't the answer. That's not the answer. I can tell you when it was. It was Jeff Foxworthy, Andy Stanley. He had on a sermon with him from November 13, 2017. Jeff Foxworthy, blue collar comedy tour, smarter than the fifth grader. I didn't know this. He was an author of like 26, 27 books at this time, and he has 6 comedy albums, 3 of them who went triple platinum, which means more than $3 million copies each. He is the largest comedy recording artist in the history of the world. That redneck Jeff Foxworthy apparently is a fairly smart guy. But he's sitting on a stage with Andy Stanley talking about what he does, and he was invited one time to a homeless shelter, and he went there fully assuming the guy wanted money, fully assuming the guy was going to ask him to put on a free comedy thing in order to raise money. And when he got there, the guy said, here's what I'd love you to do. I don't know if you'd be interested. Do you mind just doing a Bible study with these guys? I think they'll come listen to the gospel if you do it. So now he has this Bible study at this homeless shelter all the time, and it's growing and growing and growing. And Jeff Foxworthy said this, I find my life is best when I am not the most important thing. He has enough money, he has enough fame, he has enough swag where he could probably do just about anything he wanted on a regular basis. And one of the things that he's already come to terms with in his life is when I'm not the most important thing. But here's what we do. So we have this mindset that if we had a little bit more, we could think the way they think. Right? Because it's easy for a millionaire to say to us that make an average of $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year, whatever that number is, if we had just a little bit more, then we'd be able to say things like that because they don't have to go through the daily struggles that we have to go through. And then I think, wait a second, isn't this just a perspective problem? Because I was reading an article from the Washington Post from August 23rd, 2018 that said this, the average U.S. resident estimated that the global median individual income is about $20,000 a year. So an interview was taken, a poll was taken for Americans, and our assumption is most of the world makes about $20,000 a year. In fact, the real answer is a tenth of that figure. The rest of the world, on average, makes about $2,100 per year. Americans typically place themselves in the top 37% of the world's income distribution. However, the vast majority of U.S. residents, we rank comfortably in the top 10 income wage earners of the world. So, perspective-wise, someone who makes $2,100 a year, what do you currently make? And does that gap look about the difference between you and Jeff Foxworthy? Right? Because my thinking is every person who makes $2,100 a year has this mindset that if I can just get to America, if I could just make a little bit more, if I could just have, I would be happy. But the problem is they would be only where you currently are. Are you currently satisfied? Are you currently happy? But if I could just get a little bit more, But yet those with a little bit more consistently say that if it's not just about a little bit more, it's not just about a bigger house, it's about doing the thing that you're called to do. That is where you actually find true joy. Right? And here's the crazy thing. 3,000 years ago, the smartest man on the planet by the name of Solomon was trying to tell us this stuff. But we weren't listening to him. In Proverbs 11, 24 through 28, it says, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly and comes to poverty. Wait a second. Solomon's telling me that if I give freely, I'll actually get more. But someone who tries to hold on to everything, you'll end up just coming to poverty? That doesn't make sense. Saving saves money. Giving doesn't save money. But yet, I promise you this, statistically speaking, because of conversations that I've had and because I'm actually, I have to know the books of the church, some of our most prosperous people here at the church are the largest donors here at the church. No one, amen, hallelujah, you don't want to believe that? Like I received a text message this past week because someone was writing a check to the church and they thought this large of a check I could hold on to and I could do this and I could buy this and I could do this. And he heard the Spirit of the Lord said, hey, dummy, which by the way, these are his words, not mine. The reason you have all this is because you're willing to give all that. Do you really want to stop the thing that will block the flow that I'm willing to have in your life? Well, if I hold on to it, a generous person, and this is in verse 25, a generous person will prosper, but whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. People curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. See, we have this backwards. We have this inverted. If I keep, I'll have. But it's actually if I give, if I pour, if I sow, then it's this reciprocal thing that comes to whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to the one searching for it. Those who trust in their riches will fall, but the unrighteous will thrive like a green leaf. So if we're going to put all of our time, all of our talent, all of our energy into our money, then I'll let you know now that you will end up dying alone with nothing. But yet if we use these things that God has given us, known as money, to pour and to give other people, then something happens where we find life ourselves. God can entrust us with more in order to give more. It's one of the reasons we believe that God has called us to a year of radical generosity here at the church. Just so you know, after the first 2 months of giving radically here at the church, we have seen an incredible deficit. We did. After the first 2 months. Go ahead. Okay. I'm asking for permission. So we're running a $16,000 deficit after 2 months because of our radical generosity. And we're like, okay, God, you've called us to this. Either we're going to stay on track and trust you. The month of March alone, we've come out of that deficit already. In just a couple weeks. But I think it had to come to a point where God goes, did you trust me? Did you hear from me? Because 16,000, we can go ahead and stop being generous and let God get us out of it. Or we can go, nope, we're already this much in debt. Next week when you come and there's no chairs, we had to sell them. Then you'll be motivated to come because ain't nobody going to listen to the gospel standing for 40 minutes. I know that, you know that, we all know. Like, but here's the thing. We as a church, we said we're going to give radically. And wouldn't you know it, after we started the flow of giving, God has started the flow of income. And we've been able to bless Mosaic Pregnancy Center from schools to individual ministries. It's just been absolutely fantastic. But we actually believe this thing that God's calling us to. So now I've just rambled on and on and on. So here's what it is. We're getting close. Ready? So I've talked to you about what Jesus said. I've shared with you a parable that he taught. I talked about what rich and famous people of today think. I've talked to you about the prosperous perspective in our current society versus the world's population. I gave you a Proverbs. I didn't even cover Old Testament Abraham and Melchizedek and what it looks like to freely give, but I could do that if you wanted me to. I've covered all these different topics, and here's what we could do. We could make an 8-week series where we talk about each one of these things individually. But I've come to realize this. Ready for this? I can give you all the biblical stats, rational, and mental exercises and data that you need. But when it comes down to being generous, this is my whole sermon in one single sentence. When it comes to you choosing to live a life of generosity, it has to be a choice. So I'm going to say this all again because I could prove to you with a parable. I could tell you what Jesus said. I can talk to you about Old Testament examples or Proverbs that'll teach you how to be wealthier, richer, and wiser. I can give you all these stats of what today's riches think to all the way to what the poor are dealing with here on the earth. I can give you all this information. All this information doesn't mean anything until you make a choice that I'm going to live a life of generosity, because as the church, that is what God has called us to. We live our life through generosity. Generosity of our money? Yes, absolutely. Because guess what? I don't know if you guys know this. We here at the ministry can't do anything unless we here at the ministry are doing something. Like, we can't help those that are hurting if we don't have finances. We can't keep the lights on for those that are seeking God. Like, this is a collective we thing happening here at the church. But when it comes down to you living a life of generosity, that you're going to give of your time, you're going to give of your talent, you're going to give of your finances, it has to be a mental decision. And in order to help you make that mental decision, I'm going to give you a modern day parable. It isn't from that unholy show known as Seinfeld that is rarely funny and also annoying, but a very godly show that's inspiring called Big Bang Theory. Yep, you heard that correctly. So here's what you need to, for those watching online, if you're watching on Facebook right now, there's a chance this gets blocked. We do own the rights. We actually have the ability to stream it. Facebook doesn't care till after the fact. So if you get blocked, jump on over to our app or our website. For those listening to me via a podcast after the fact, you need to know that down in the description, we have a link to YouTube. You're going to hear me stop talking, then start talking again. The only way you see the clip is to click on the link and go watch it, then come back to your podcast. But for everybody else, I have about a 5-minute clip that I want to show you what it looks like to live a life of generosity. Take a look at this. I wanted to show that clip because I think it best illustrates what I would like to summarize in just our last couple minutes together. Number one, if you feel like giving to God, giving financially is a tax, then don't give. That's not the point of it. Sheldon, every time someone went to give him a gift, he felt like there was an obligation to give a gift equal back of what they were given. So he came up with this plan to pay off what it was that someone gave to him. But something amazing happened when someone gave to him something that he could never pay it back for. When you understand what Jesus Christ has done to you to bring you into the family, to bring you a part of the team, to make you a part of the church, there should be an internal revelation of, he has given me so much more than I could ever give back. And so it should come out of the back, arms full, let me give to you what it is that I can. And so, but at the end, when Sheldon realized that all the money that he has, all the gifts that he could have bought, all the things that smell nice isn't enough, he gave of himself. And so when it comes to living a life of generosity, it doesn't come out of obligation. It comes out of an understanding of what has been given to us initially. God needs us and wants us to be generous to the world around us, because he has given something more valuable than they could ever have imagined. But it's up to us to wrap it. It's up to us to show it. And so when we've had that personal revelation, I'll tell you now, and by the way, I'd be open to share this with anybody one-on-one. Like, my wife and I, we set our tithe. It's the first thing that comes out after every paycheck. And it's easy to give that. But I've also lived a life coming up in a family that gave. And so this is just kind of my upbringing. This is what I know. Some of you, you're new to church. You're new to God. You're new to Jesus. And this like freaks you out, the thought that I need to give. I need to financially sow. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to go as practical as we possibly can. Can everyone stay with me for about 3 more minutes? Okay. So first of all, here's your weekly challenge. And you can find this in the app. You can take a picture of the screen. I would encourage everybody, in just a minute, I'm going to have everyone pull phones out of their pocket and stuff, so you may want to go ahead and do that. Here's the first challenge that I have for you this week. One thing that God is asking you to sacrifice for his mission. If you're the one giving of the gift, what do you need to do? I can tell you one of the things that I chose to do a long time ago. I enjoy going to the gym every single morning, and my favorite thing to do was put on large headphones that told everybody around me, I don't want to talk to you. That's a true story. But what I found is, here's a group of people that I see on a daily basis that I can intentionally engage in their life and talk to them. So headphones came off. I sacrificed my time in order to be available for someone else. All right, and so what is the one thing God's going to ask you to sacrifice for his mission? And then the second thing is, what would you have to do to become a 10% tither, a 10% giver? Now, statistically speaking, over 20% of you that are sitting in here, I know that you go, I already am. Fantastic. But then the vast majority, you're not at 10%. And for me to say, I would like you to consider, what does it take to become a 10% tither? This is not, and by the way, if you're a guest here with us today, this conversation is not for you. We are happy that you're here. You don't have to feel obligated to give a thing. At the end, Pastor Aaron will ask you to give one thing, but it's a piece of paper that we've already provided that's sitting in front of you just because we want to get to know you. Like, that's it. So this is us, me talking to the family right now. And I would say for those of you that want to become 10% tithers, that's very intimidating. So here's what we as a church would like to do with you. We want to partner with you for a 3-month challenge. If you would like to know about the 3-month challenge, we're going to put a QR code on the screen now. And if you don't know how this works, open up your camera phone, just point it at the screen, and a little tab is going to come down, and you click on it. And that'll take you right to the website. For those watching online, we've dropped a link. For those listening to me after the fact, you can go to our website, to our give page. And here's what it is. If you would like to take a step of faith and join the tithing challenge, 3-month tithing challenge, because there's one place that I can quote off the top of my head where God says, challenge me. He actually says these words, test me and see. It comes to your finances. He doesn't say, test me in your healing, test me in your salvation, test me. He doesn't say that, but he says, test me and see if I will not supply your every need. So if you're here today and you are not a tither, here's what we as a church want to do to partner with you, because I don't want to send you out on the step of faith and you freak out. Here's how confident I am on this step of faith, that if you come on and you sign up for this 3-month tithing challenge, and there's a couple things we ask you to read just so we're all on the same page of what we're doing. At the end of 3 months, if you don't see the providential provision of God in your life, the church will refund you all the money that you gave over that 3-month period. And by the way, that's how confident I am in God. That's how confident I am in these principles. That's how confident I am in this thing called tithing. So if you would like to be a part of the 3-month tithing challenge, you just point your phone, go on the website afterwards and sign up. And again, there's some things there so that we're all on the same page. You'll get weekly emails. We put together a 90-day reading program for you so that every day you can read a scripture, read a thought, and have something to pray for. But if you're intentionally focused on saying to God, I want to be as much of your church as I can, here's how I'm going to do it. We are so confident as a church that you'll see his providential blessings in your life. That if not, here's how we want to partner with you. This is worry-free, because he either provides or we'll give it back. But here's the next thing I'd like to do, and I'm kind of going off script here. Pastor Aaron's supposed to cover this thing. I want to talk to you about being generous with your time. Coming up, we have our major Easter outreach. And Shelly, I'll just go ahead, and for those watching online, I got to talk to someone in the back. I'm going to need the next QR code for the sign. I would like to ask you to give of your time now. We are throwing a citywide party coming up. It's actually April 16th. We are actually planning on 2,000 people to be there. Okay, in 2,000 people, we have 40,000 eggs that need to be filled. Now, here's good news. We've already done 10,000. When I say we've done 10,000, we bought them pre-packed. They're for the 0 to 2 year olds. We can give them Tootsie Rolls. But then we have 30,000 eggs that we need to pack. So March 27th, next Sunday after church, we're going to have an egg packing party here at the church. And if there ain't been no party like an egg packing party, because an egg packing party don't stop. I can't believe I remember those lyrics. Boo! I remember the lyrics. I'm more impressed than that than ever. But here's the other thing. On April 16th, we as the church need to be ready to serve our community. We're going to serve them because as they come up, we're going to register them. We're going to give them a bag. And then after that, we're going to have these carnival games that the NAV kids, NAV students are going to oversee. We have bounce houses that we have an incredible partner here at the church. I won't even tell you the price that he gave us because he would not, like, he took care of the church in the biggest way. We have these churches. And another church, a partner of ours, Jerry Casey and Providence Church, their people are going to be overseeing all the bounce houses for us. We have our Easter Bunny that's going to be out there taking pictures with people. And then we're going to give away 40,000 eggs, and we're going to give hundreds of dollars worth of giveaways after that fact. And then the following Sunday, the next day after that, just so everybody knows, we're going to be advertising to everybody who came to our Easter egg party to come to church, and a first-time guest, they're going to win a $300 pair of Oculus glasses. Am I saying that correctly? A VR. Like, there's Jesus on the cross. There's his blood. Like, it will make you Christian, just make you feel better. So the whole point of doing the Easter outreach is to show love of Jesus, and we have invested in a whole lot of orange shirts that say navigation on it, and we're going to come up with a simple phrase that no matter who you run into, you'll be able to say to them, Navigation Church, it's been an honor to serve you. That's it. Navigation Church, it's been our honor to serve you. And could you imagine 2,000 people hearing it from 200 plus people all throughout the day? It's been an honor for Navigation Church to serve you. It's been an honor for Navigation Church to serve you. So what we need is we need you to give of your time and your talent in order for us to serve our community well. So the screen's right up there. Everybody pull out your phones. Ready for this? Open your camera, point it at the screen. Those watching online, same link's been given to you. We would like to ask you to sign up, not just to give of your money, but to give of your time also. And in doing this, right now, you know what, Holy Spirit, I hear you. There are some of you, maybe of a different generation, that your rotary phone isn't here with you today. Heads down, I'm not making eye contact. Jury, like, okay, so. It's so bad. We have a table in the back. For those online, if you need help signing up, just type something in. But we have a table in the back that if you would like to go back there, we have pieces of paper that will point you towards. But then someone will pull your phone out and help you do the rest. But no, we do have a paper sign up for you to sign up. But we just need to go ahead and get people's names on the list, and we'll communicate more afterwards. But this Sunday, this is the most practical way we can talk to you about being inspired to give, or we can partner with you to help be a giver. We can talk to you about volunteering and serving and giving, but here's saying, or we can provide a platform for it. But what we all need to know when it comes to a life of generosity, it is a choice we have to make, not a decision that we need to be inspired to do. You have to choose to be generous. And then I will say this. For those of you that are going to partner with us, and I know not everyone's available, but if you partner and you go out and you're part of this Easter thing, and I don't care if you're flipping hot dogs, you're passing them out, or if you're just someone with an orange shirt, that we're going to have a whole group of team. For all you outgoing people, we just need hosts. And your job is to walk around saying hi to people. That's your whole job, okay? And you're just going around. If we get done with that day and you feel depleted, if there was a way to have a money-back time guarantee, I'd give it to you. But here's what I promise. If you intentionally go to serve someone else, you will be filled at the end of the day. Amen. Your life will be enriched because of what you were willing to pour out. And so God, let us live a life of generosity. This is one of those conversations that I don't know how you close it. We don't have a big story to end it. But I think the parable that we saw through Sheldon of someone who received such a gift that they could never give back enough, may we have that revelation in our own life today. And in the places where we can no longer give enough, may we give of ourselves to live that life of generosity. I think the prayer I want to say is simply this. God, we don't want to be a partial church. We want to be a whole church. And a whole church looks at every aspect of what you've called us to do, and we're willing to do it. For those struggling with their finances, for those struggling with this thought about giving financially, Holy Spirit, come alongside and mentor them, teach them, guide them, disciple them. For those that have never stepped out and just served the community, and what if I do it wrong, and how do I know if I did it right? Lord, I pray that we just have enough of us out there that we all feel comfortable being the hands and feet of Jesus here on the earth. Show us what a life of generosity looks like. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.